Earth spins in a black star-sprinkled sky. Dusty blue rings of soft light swirl around the planet. A Universal Picture. A Comcast company. Fade to black. A black bird soars in front of a pale figure wearing a pointed mask. Blinding Edge Pictures. Universal Pictures presents a Blinding Edge Pictures production in association with Film Nation Features and Wishmore Entertainment, a film by M. Night Shyamalan. A title appears, Knock at the Cabin. Doodles on various forms of documentation show weapons, people writhing in pain, and a cabin in the woods. Dave Bautista, Jonathan Groff, Ben Aldridge, Nikki Amuka Bird, Kristen Kwee, Abby Quinn, and Rupert Grint. Casting by Douglas Abel, CSA. Costume designer Carolyn Duncan. Music supervision by Susan Jacobs. Music by Herdis Steffensdotter. Edited by Nomi Pricework. Production designer Naman Marshall. Directors of photography Jaron Bloschke, Lowell A. Meyer. Co-producers Jeff Robinson, Andreas Zupanos Kritikos. Executive producers Christos V. Constantakopoulos, Ashley Fox. Executive producer Stephen Schneider. Produced by M. Night Shyamalan, Mark Beanstock, Ashwin Rajan. Based on the book The Cabin at the End of the World, written by Paul Tremblay. Screenplay by M. Night Shyamalan and Steve Desmond and Michael Sherman. Directed by M. Night Shyamalan. Daytime. A grasshopper sits on the forest floor. It jumps away, and a low view moves through a thicket of ferns. The creeping view slowly comes to a stop before the grasshopper sitting on a fern's fronds. A young girl reaches out and delicately scoops the insect into her hands. She places the bug into a large jar filled with dry grass, sticks, and other grasshoppers. She screws on the lid. As she peers into the container, a view through the glass reveals a scar above her top lip. Many holes pierce the jar's lid.
It's okay. Relax. I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna learn about you for a little while. Is that okay?
The girl uses a purple marker to write a name on a list in a notebook.
I'm gonna name you Caroline, after my friend at school. She's really nice, but she farts in class sometimes and pretends like she didn't. So please don't do that, because you're sharing this jar now, and the others won't like you if you smell, okay?
A close view shows several grasshoppers on a stick inside the jar. The girl looks up from her notebook and spots a muscular man walking toward her through the trees. He wears a white button-down shirt with short sleeves and jeans. Furrowing her brow, the girl looks over her shoulder as he approaches. A low view shows his brown boots as he walks. As he gets closer, the girl notices his arms and neck covered in tattoos.
Hi there. I'm not from around here, but I was hoping to make some new friends.
The bald, muscular man pauses, then approaches her.
Can I talk to you for a little bit?
Wearing glasses, he stares down at her. She shakes her head.
I don't talk to strangers.
Of course you don't. You shouldn't. You're smart. But I'm here to be your friend. So hopefully we won't be strangers for too long. What's your name?
Wenling. But everyone calls me Wen.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Wen. My name's Leonard.
Leonard extends his hand to Wen, and she hesitantly shakes it. He points toward the ground.
I see you're catching grasshoppers. Can I help you?
I guess so.
I loved catching grasshoppers when I was your age.
He sits opposite her on the ground. Leonard runs his hand over the tops of plants and gently scoops a grasshopper into his palm.
Oh, you're really good.
Thanks, Swan. Can you pass me your jar there, please?
She starts to unscrew the jar's lid.
Wait. Let the ones inside calm down a bit. We don't want them to panic.
She nods and removes the lid, and he drops the grasshopper in.
There you go. Are you just a natural, or did someone teach you how to catch grasshoppers?
Daddy Eric taught me. I'm studying them. I'm going to take care of animals when I grow up.
You call your dad by his first name?
It's so they know who I'm talking to. There's Daddy Eric and Daddy Andrew.
He looks past her.
All the other kids at school only have one dad. All the Disney Channel shows only have one dad, too.
Does that bother you?
No, except when my guidance counselor keeps saying how it's so great that I have two dads. For some reason, it makes me feel like she's saying the opposite.
Briefly hanging his head, Leonard turns to look over his shoulder. He stares into the distant trees.
What's wrong?
He turns back to Wen.
Nothing. Nothing at all. How old are you, Wen?
I'll be 8 in 6 days.
Well, happy almost birthday. In fact, it just so happens that I have something for you. I saw it, and I thought it was pretty, so I decided to keep it. So consider it an early birthday present.
He holds a flower.
If you don't like it, we can play a game with it instead.
What kind of game?
We'll take turns pulling petals off and asking questions. And by the time we're done, we'll know each other better. Be better friends.
Okay.
What's your favorite movie?
Kiki's Delivery Service.
I haven't seen that. I'll check it out. Okay, your turn.
She pulls off a white petal.
Why are you here?
He turns back to the distant trees.
Leonard?
He looks at Wen with a distracted expression.
Why am I here? Well, I suppose I'm here to make friends with you. And your dad's. Maybe catch some more grasshoppers. How'd you get that tiny little scar on your lip?
She drops her gaze.
I'm so sorry, Wen. I shouldn't have asked that. It's too personal, even for this game.
It's okay. My lip was broken when I was born. My dad said it took a lot of doctors to fix it.
Well, I don't have a scar like you. But if you could look inside, you'd see that my heart is broken.
Why is it broken?
Because of what I have to do today.
What do you have to do?
Leonard looks back toward the trees as three people approach them.
Are they your friends?
You're my friend, Wen. No matter what happens, I want you to remember that. The others who are coming are more like people I work with. You see, the four of us have a very important job to do. In fact, it might be the most important job in the history of the world.
Wen stares at Leonard with a confused expression. She turns her attention to the others, who all carry modified tools.
This isn't about you, Wen. Or your dad's. Okay. You haven't done anything wrong. But I'm afraid the three of you are going to have to make some tough decisions. Terrible decisions. And I wish with all my broken heart that you didn't have to. Wen?
She hurries to a cabin door.
Your dads won't want to let us in. You have to tell them they must. Otherwise, we're going to have to find our own way in. Do you understand? Wen, tell me you understand.
With a terrified expression, she goes inside. Wen hurries through the cabin to the back deck, where two men sit chatting. The dark-haired man sits on the railing.
That cheese is good. See, factual proof. There she is. You didn't need to check on her.
You have to come inside right now. They're strangers, and they want to come in, and they're scary!
Whoa, slow down.
Hurry now!
Hey, okay, we're coming inside, okay? What's happened? It's okay.
She locks the back door.
Hey, it's okay. Listen, sweetie, what happened? What scared you?
There were four of them. The big one, his name's Leonard. He says we had to help them. He says they have the most important job in the history of the world.
Her dads exchange a look.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Great.
They have these weapons!
Wearing a blue bathrobe, the lighter-haired man cautiously approaches the front door. The dark-haired man puts on his hiking boots.
Hello in there. My name's Leonard, and I'm here with some associates of mine. Can you open the door, please?
Wen shakes her head. The dark-haired man peers out the window.
This guy's freaking huge. What do we do? I don't know, tell him to go away nicely.
Hi, hello, Leonard.
Is that Daddy Andrew or Daddy Eric? I met your delightful daughter, Wen, already. She's so thoughtful and kind. You two should be very proud.
The men exchange a look.
This is Eric. Is there something we can help you with?
There is. Why don't you open the door? It'll be easier if we speak face to face.
Tell them to go away. Please make them go away.
Wen, please.
We weren't expecting visitors. I don't want to sound rude, but we'd like to be left alone.
I understand. And I'm sorry to intrude on your vacation, especially in such a beautiful place as this.
Make them go away!
Wen. You should know that this isn't easy for us either. None of us have been to this lake before. The four of us, we never thought we'd be here talking to you nice people.
The dark-haired man, Andrew, moves to another window.
Who else is out there with you?
I'm here with Sabrina, Adrian, and Redmond. And the four of us are here because we're trying to save a whole bunch of people. But we need your help to do that. We can't do anything without you. And speaking through a door is making a difficult conversation near impossible.
Eric joins him. Peering through the blinds, Andrew notices the group's weapons.
There's a woman carrying something that looks like a pick with a chain and a mallet head at the end.
The dads glance back toward Wen.
I'm calling the police now.
Andrew goes to the kitchen and dials a landline phone.
This can't be right. There's no dial tone.
What? I checked it when we got here. Is the battery dead?
The battery's not dead. It's not dialing.
Like I said, we need to talk. We don't have a choice.
Andrew steps toward the door.
Yeah, well, we don't have a choice either. We're calling the cops.
Hey, we know you can't do that. None of our phones get service out here either. And sorry, we have to cut the phone line.
Andrew and Eric exchange a look. Wen grabs a cell phone.
We don't mean to rush you, but we're a little pressed for time. Please open the door so we can have a real conversation.
If you want to talk, then why do you have the scary weapons with you?
They're not weapons, Wen. They're tools.
Shut that door. We're coming in either way.
The hell you are! I have a gun!
Eric eyes Andrew.
You brought it here?
Yes. No, it's in the safe in the back of the truck.
Show us what you're packing, Daddy Andrew.
We all like show and tell.
You'll see it when I'm pointing at your head, you piece of crap!
What's wrong with you? You're not helping. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. Redmond is as anxious and passionate as we all are.
A roving view approaches the doorknob.
I'm giving you one last chance to open the door.
With a frightened expression, Wen scoots closer to Eric. He startles as the door shakes. Grips the knob tightly and Andrew wedges a chair under it. Andrew shuts the blinds as a person walks past. Eric ties the curtains around the back door's knobs. Wen shuts a window.
Andrew! Good job, Mike. Keep going.
Andrew and Eric move the couch in front of the back doors. Wen shuts another window. She locks it, then startles backward as Leonard walks past. Andrew locks another door. Someone breaks through a window. Reaching through the opening, the red-bearded man fumbles with the back door's lock. Andrew picks Wen up. They hide behind a wall. Eric grabs a fireplace scoop and joins them by the bookshelves. Andrew takes a damper tool from him. Peering toward a padlocked door, Eric and Andrew listen intently.
They're in the basement. One is in the back. One is downstairs. Let's make a run for it to the car.
I've got the keys.
As they hurry to the front door and start to unwedge the chair, they spot a woman with a weapon in the kitchen.
It didn't have to be like this.
Get one out of here.
Eric swings the scoop at her, but she blocks his attack. Andrew opens the front door, then watches the woman pull Eric to the floor.
Eric!
Andrew sets Wen down.
Let me help him. Wait.
Don't touch him!
I'm a nurse! Stop! Stop!
The woman scoots away. Andrew and Wen kneel beside Eric on the floor.
Daddy, just get up. We have to go, Daddy.
The red-bearded man breaks in through the back doors.
Eric, wake up! Wake up, Eric!
Andrew swings the damper tool at him, but misses. The red-bearded man blocks his blows with his long-handled weapon. Andrew punches him in the face. Leonard bursts in through the basement door. Andrew pummels the red-bearded man's face. The red-bearded man staggers back and holds his chest. Andrew turns to find Leonard and a petite woman standing behind him. Leonard holds Wen, who cries. The petite woman looks at her.
Shh. You'll be okay.
Andrew. That's enough.
Sweat glistening on his face, Andrew looks from Wen and Leonard to the nurse leaning over Eric on the floor. In a flashback, Eric and Andrew sit across from an older couple. The gray-haired woman sips her tea, and her slender husband glances at her. She smiles at Andrew, who returns the expression.
I like your French.
Excellent.
Eric glances at Andrew, who wears a tight-lipped smile. Andrew's father glares at Eric, then drops his gaze. His mother focuses her attention back on her teacup and takes a sip. Later, Andrew watches from the doorway as his parents walk to their car. Without looking back, his father opens the car door for his mother.
They drove for 7 hours and stayed 45 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Eric stands by the stairs.
What do you expect?
They watch Andrew's parents drive away.
That's my mom asking how it's going.
Well, you can tell you were wrong.
Andrew starts away.
Andrew.
He stops and looks back at Eric. Eric points to him, then to himself.
Always together.
Dropping his gaze, Andrew nods. He glances at Eric and flashes a faint smile. The memory ends. A close view shows Andrew looking over at Eric, who squints against a bright light in his face.
Very important cupcake order.
Let me see if this helps. Is that better?
The light darkens and the nurse checks Eric's head. He sits tied to a chair.
Try not to move.
Wen sits on the floor between Eric and Andrew, who also sits bound to a chair. Leonard sweeps up broken glass.
Can you turn that down?
The petite woman checks the back door.
You did when you asked before, but I'll do it again.
Leonard turns down the TV volume. The red-bearded man dabs his bleeding nose.
Is Eric cleaned up?
He's cleaned up, yeah, but severely concussed.
Leonard bends toward Eric.
Hey, Eric. You feeling any better?
Eric looks at him with a dazed expression.
I'm so sorry.
Leonard glances at the cartoon on TV.
Never watched the show before, but I like it. The characters, and they seem curious and good. I get the sense that it explores or teaches empathy and tolerance, and it's just lovely.
Empathy and tolerance? Is that what you're here to talk about now that you have the queers tied up?
The nurse wrings her hands.
Andrew, I assure you that we're not here with hate or prejudice in our hearts. Not at all.
We don't have one homophobic bone in our bodies.
I don't hate anybody. I do have conflicted feelings about this door.
You have to believe that. But we had no idea you were a single-sex couple until we got here.
That one was a surprise.
Well, I guess if you promise, then I have to believe you.
I mean, we're normal people just like you. We have no choice.
There's always a choice!
He's right about that. Our choices make our destiny. I almost got that tattooed.
The petite woman smiles. Leonard looks at Andrew.
Okay, you're right, Andrew. There's always a choice. So we choose to be here. Can everyone come in here, please? It's almost time.
Time for what? You don't need us tied up.
The intruders converge.
You said you were here to talk, so we'll talk.
Andrew struggles against his binds. The nurse steps forward with a nervous expression. Eric watches the intruders.
Hi, Eric. Wynn. And Andrew. My name is Sabrina. I live in Southern California. I live in a town you probably never heard of. I have been a post-op nurse for almost 5 years. I use most of my savings to come out to Pennsylvania, to come here, to talk with you guys.
Sabrina glances down.
I have a little half-sister back home. And Wynn, you kind of remind me of her.
Wynn shakes her head. Leonard steps forward.
Well, I think you guys already know my name is Leonard. And I'm good at catching grasshoppers, right, Wynn?
Andrew continues struggling against his binds.
I'm from Chicago. I'm a second grade teacher, and I run the after school program. I'm also a bartender.
Okay. Me? My next? Hi there. I'm Redmond, and I like long walks on the beach, and I like beer.
Hey, we already discussed this thing. You deserve to know who we are.
We wasted time for this guy to wake up. You know, this get to know you stuff doesn't matter at all. Doesn't change what we have to do or what they have to do.
When you say stuff like that, you sound how you sound. You just scare them. You make it less likely that they'll believe us or cooperate.
Okay. Okay. My turn it is. I live in Medford, Massachusetts. I work for the gas company, making sure houses and apartments don't blow up. I'm single, if you can believe that. Done some time, as they say. Did a lot of questionable stuff when I was young and stupid. But I'm much better now.
Redmond dabs his bleeding nose. Andrew and Eric exchange a look.
You know, my father used to beat the shit out of me like Andrew just did.
Redmond eyes his weapon.
Wish I could go back in time. Kid me this thing.
May I speak now? I hope I don't sound confusing.
Hold on a second. We get that you guys are a part of some group, and it sounds like you want to fix things to help.
Eric, you don't have to try.
No, I'm okay. I want to say this. If you're trying to recruit us, I mean, why else bother introducing yourselves to us, right? If you're trying to change us or make us different, all this isn't the way.
Eric shuts his eyes.
Can someone put the curtain on the back door?
What's wrong with Eric?
You have a concussion. You're extremely sensitive to light.
Well, there's nothing we can do about that.
Well, he's only going to get better if he rests in a darkened room or if we make it dark in here.
We shouldn't move him until we make our proposal.
People need to be in a darkened room for days, not just a few hours.
You're not separating me from Andrew and Wynn.
I'll see what I can do with the curtains.
So, Whatever. I'm Adrian. Yeah, I've been a lot of things, but right now, or before I got up here, I was a line cook at a Mexican restaurant in DuPont Circle, D.C. I love to feed people. It feels like it's more than food to me. God, what else? I have two cats. You'd love them when their names are Riff and Raff. Do you like cats, Wynn?
You don't have to answer, sweetie.
Sorry, Wynn. Maybe I'll put it back on later, okay? Forget the curtains. It's time.
Leonard turns off the TV. Redmond steps away from the curtain on one of the back doors. An exterior view of the cabin shows the grasshoppers in the jar. In the cabin, Wynn stands behind Andrew in his chair.
The four of us are here to prevent the apocalypse.
The intruders face them.
We, and when I say we, I mean everyone in this cabin can stop it from happening, but only with your help.
Eric and Andrew exchange a look.
Ultimately, whether the world ends or not, is completely up to you three.
You are having a psychological break of some kind.
Wynn hides behind Andrew as Leonard kneels before her and her dad's.
Your family must choose to willingly sacrifice one of the three of you in order to prevent the apocalypse. After you make what I know is an impossible decision, you must then kill the one you choose.
Andrew meets Eric's eye.
If you fail to choose, or if you fail to follow through with the sacrifice, the world will end. You three will live. But the rest of humanity, 7 billion plus, will perish.
Andrew looks down.
And you will only live long enough to witness the horror of the end of everything. And you will be left to wander the devastated planet alone. Permanently and cosmically. Alone.
Leonard.
Eric shakes his head.
We haven't done anything wrong.
I agree with you. You haven't. You haven't done anything wrong. Deserve this burden. You're just the family chosen to decide for us in this time.
Leonard gets to his feet. He turns and joins the others. Andrew strains against his binds.
Look, I'm not here to hurt you.
If we wanted to hurt you, we would have used duct tape instead of rope.
You stop.
Redmond wears a sheepish expression.
You have to understand that we cannot and will not choose who is to be sacrificed for you. And just as importantly, we cannot act for you. You cannot kill yourselves.
We're not choosing anyone. We're not sacrificing anyone. Not now, not ever.
Even if it means the death of everyone else in the world.
Yes. Even if I believe the world was at stake, which I don't, that's what it means. I would watch the world die 100 times over before having...
Christ! Waste of time. They're never gonna choose to do this. And I don't blame them. Who would ever choose?
Shut up, Redmond! You just vomit everything you think! Oh, God, we are so screwed.
Okay. You need to listen to this part, too. I've been shown exactly what will happen if you choose not to make a sacrifice. We've all been shown.
They eye their weapons.
We couldn't stop drawing the visions we saw. I actually thought something was wrong with me. But the visions were so strong, so specific, and so real. Sabrina, Adrian, Redmond, they had the visions too. So that led us to each other, and that led us here, to this exact cabin. We have no idea why we were picked.
Eric watches as Redmond, Adrian, and Sabrina pick up their weapons. A mallet head hangs from a rusty chain on Sabrina's weapon.
First, the cities will drown. The oceans will swell and rise up into a great fist and pound all the buildings and people into the sand and drag everything out to sea.
There is something wrong with you, with all of you, if you believe this.
Then a terrible plague will descend, and people will writhe with fever and mucus will fill their lungs.
This is psychotic. It's delusional. Did you try to get help? Let us go, and we'll get you help.
The skies will fall and crash to the earth like pieces of glass, and God's fingers will scorch the earth, and an everlasting darkness will descend over humanity.
You need help!
With a distant expression, Leonard drops his gaze.
This is going to happen. And we've been shown that only your sacrifice can stop it.
Shown by who? By what? Are you gonna answer that? You sound like every fake doomsdayer on every corner of every city!
He hangs his head and shuts his eyes.
Come on. Talk to us.
Andrew looks at Eric.
Dreams can have many different meanings. Our part in your visions is kind of vague. Almost like you didn't know who would be here. Like it was random. It doesn't make sense.
For every no you give us, we will unleash a plague for the sins of humanity.
Tears well in Leonard's eyes.
Will you make a choice?
Andrew stiffens and glances around. He fixes a hard glare on Leonard and shakes his head. Wen tightens her grip around Andrew's neck and shakes her head. Leonard looks to Eric, who also shakes his head. Wringing his hands, Leonard glances down, then looks to the side. Adrian, Leonard, and Sabrina step away from the family. Redmond faces the family.
Wait. Stop. You don't need to do this.
You don't need those things. You said you couldn't hurt us.
Andrew struggles against his ties.
What are you doing?
Adrian steps behind him. She places her hands on his shoulders, then picks up Wen.
What are you doing? Don't touch her! Don't touch her! Get off of her! Get off of her! Get off of her!
She puts Wen in Andrew's lap, facing away from Redmond.
Run, Wen! Run!
Eric squeezes his eyes shut, and Redmond drops to his knees with his weapon in hand. He sets it on the floor.
Please, God, just let us go.
Redmond pulls out a white hood and holds it over his own head. He trembles.
Fuck. I'm scared.
Wen looks at him.
Keep looking at me, okay? Don't you fucking look away from me.
Redmond pulls the hood down over his face. Tears well in Eric's eyes as he watches Redmond quake with fear. Eric's eyes widen as streaks of bright light shine in through a window. A brilliant flash appears in a mirror behind Redmond. The lights dissipate as the three other intruders take their places behind Redmond. Eric shuts his eyes, and a tear rolls down his cheek. He slowly opens his eyes again, and Wen turns away from Redmond.
A part of humanity has been judged.
The intruders shift around Redmond. His head jerks from side to side.
This isn't real. It's not real.
He falls dead, with weapons sticking out of his head. Sabrina and Adrian retrieve their weapons. Eric, Wen, and Andrew keep their faces turned away as the women walk past Leonard. Leonard steps forward, then jabs his weapon downward. The ropes on Andrew's wrists hang looser. Squeezing her eyes shut, Wen hugs him tighter. In a flashback, Eric and Andrew sit in an orphanage. Andrew looks over at Eric, who stares at a mural.
You can pray if you want. I won't make comment.
The painting depicts Jesus playing soccer with children. Chinese characters adorn the mural. A woman in scrubs approaches them.
Mr. and Mrs. Brooks?
Yes. My wife couldn't be here today. This is her brother.
Eric stands and points to Andrew, who nods. Now, Eric and Andrew enter a nursery. A woman in scrubs brings a baby girl with a cleft lip to them. Eric wears an enamored expression as he approaches her. She hands baby Wen to Eric.
Now tell me this isn't a miracle.
Andrew grins.
Hi, Daddy. Hi, Wen.
The flashback ends. Wen clings to Andrew. She switches to his other side. Leonard stares down at Redmond's body. He staggers backward, then goes into the kitchen. He drops his weapon. Both wearing horrified expressions, Sabrina paces past Adrian. Leonard returns to the living room.
Adrian, can you help me out here? Adrian.
Hey, yeah. What?
Help me take Redmond outside.
Leonard bends down.
I'll cover him with a blanket.
A bandage sticks to the back of Eric's head. He turns away from the sunlight as Sabrina opens the front door. Holding Redmond's feet, Leonard drags the body outside. Adrian follows him with a weapon in hand. A circling view moves away from the front door and settles on a window on the side of the cabin. Leonard drags the body past the window. Sabrina hands Adrian the blanket. Our view rests on Eric. Later, Sabrina wipes blood off the floor. Our view rises from her to the open front door. Eric squints at the bright sunlight as Adrian and Leonard re-enter and shut the door. Leonard turns the TV back on.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to change the channel for a little bit, okay?
Go fuck yourself, Mr. Rogers.
An infomercial plays.
I wanna see whether the air fryer oven makes you just as crispy.
Please watch the TV.
As one of America's favorites.
I'm not even gonna thank you. I really just want this.
Do you hear that gorgeous crispy crunch? Doesn't get much better than that.
Wen turns to the TV.
And it tastes amazing.
Amazing fried chicken and a lot less guilt.
A special report interrupts the infomercial.
We continue with our coverage of the earthquake centered in the Aleutian Islands, which struck more than 4 hours ago. The U.S. National Tsunami Warning Center has issued a cautionary advisory to British Columbia, Canada, and more than 1,000 miles of coast along the American Pacific Northwest, including the cities of Seattle and Portland. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center issued its strongest warning to the islands of Hawaii.
Is this what we're supposed to see?
Leonard turns to the family.
I explained to you what would happen as a result of you not choosing. A plague will be released by Redmond's death.
You have to listen to me. I remember, but this doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean...
No! Just watch! I know I shouldn't yell. I know you're afraid of me, of us. Just... Please watch.
...points to a sizable wave of 15 to 20 feet in height, headed south towards the Hawaiian Islands.
We do have information that the tsunami has made landfall. Now, as you can tell from our live feed, this resort on Kauai has already been evacuated.
News footage shows water flooding a building as rain falls and strong winds blow. Leonard hangs his head.
Our early warning detection systems gave plenty of time to evacuate the coasts and low-laying areas of the affected Hawaiian Islands. No injuries or fatalities have been reported.
Please let Eric and Wen go at least. Eric has a concussion. I'll stay, and we can talk about doomsday, or the apocalypse, or mass traumatic events of the 21st century all you want.
I don't understand. This is...
Sabrina, just keep watching until we see what was shown to us.
More news footage shows vehicles stuck in the mud on flooded streets.
A second massive earthquake has struck in the Pacific, registering 8.6 on the Richter scale. The epicenter is only 70 miles off the coast of Oregon in what's called the Cascadia Subduction Zone. That's an area scientists have long feared would produce a catastrophic earthquake.
Unbelievable. Oh, there it is. We did this.
It's really fucking happening. The
violence has triggered this second quake now, which has lasted for about 5 minutes. And given the proximity of the epicenter, people on the coast are going to have mere minutes to try to find shelter. A tsunami triggered by a quake of this magnitude and proximity to the shoreline will be massive. I mean, 50-foot high bluffs along the coast are not going to be safe.
And we've just gotten word the tsunami has indeed hit the Oregon shoreline, and we have footage shot minutes ago from Cannon Beach.
Cell phone video shows people on a beach.
Holy crap, this is what I saw. The same jutting rocks.
You too.
Someone sitting on the sand gets to their feet and points out at the water. The cell phone video turns to a large wave rolling toward the beach. A curly-haired woman stares out at it with a troubled expression. A person in a red jacket starts running. Sabrina, Adrian, and Leonard watch the news footage in horror. People on the beach run from the growing wave. The wave crashes against a jagged rock. It rolls over the fleeing beachgoers, then engulfs our view. Eric looks over at Wen sitting in Andrew's lap.
Wen, go to your room till I tell you to come out.
Not moving, she stares at the TV with a frightened expression. The news footage shows bodies floating in the water. Sabrina turns off the TV. She glances at the other intruders, then turns to the family.
She didn't need to say this.
Tomorrow morning, you can make the difficult, selfless choice of sacrifice and save the world. Or you can choose once again to let the clock move another minute closer to permanent midnight.
With her arms folded, Adrian fixes the family with a desperate expression.
For the rest of today and tonight, we'll tend to your needs within reason. But otherwise, we'll leave you be to reflect and talk it over.
We told you.
You have to believe us. It doesn't matter if we believe your craziness. The answer is still the same. Everyone in the world can die as far as we're concerned. Am I right, Eric?
Eric stares off.
Eric? You okay? I'm okay.
Wen clings to Andrew.
I just need a moment.
In a flashback, Eric scrolls through music on his phone.
I have a little surprise queued up for you.
Oh, what's that gonna be?
Ready?
Drives through the forest with Andrew and Wen at sunset. Fishing buoys hang from trees. The family pulls up to the cabin.
Except for the main rope being further away than we thought. I'm officially impressed. Okay.
Wen runs off.
Hey, Wen, come get your bag.
Wen, come on. Wen,
come check out the view. It's better than the website.
The family walks along a lake.
How many grasshoppers did you catch?
Just one so far. Her name's Liz.
Mm, you see any bears yet? Andrew, don't start. If we joke about it, she won't take it seriously.
We won't leave the garbage out. We'll be fine.
Wait. Show Daddy Eric your scary bear face.
Run!
Hey, when you're going in too close, that doc might have rusty nails.
Eric, come on with me, rusty nails. We got so lucky with this place.
Woo!
Andrew takes off his shirt and steps out of view. Wen follows him. Eric hurries onto the dock, then stops and searches his pockets.
Oh, here I come! Let's go in!
Oh, come on.
Hang on, one second.
He removes his shoes.
Coming right at you.
Yes, yes, yes!
He jumps into the lake with his clothes on.
That was a cold spot.
Look at you swimming!
The flashback ends in the bathroom.
Just applying a little pressure. Told you I'm a nurse. May not be on board with all the end of the world stuff yet, but at least trust me on that. None of us wanted it to go this way. We need you in a clear state of mind. You've got a big decision to make.
Sabrina changes Eric's bandage.
You think I'm some kind of religious freak, right? I would too. Truth is, I haven't even been to church since my grandma forced me to go when I was little. I always thought religious stuff was so tired and boring from another time and people were scared of shadows.
She catches her reflection in the mirror.
And the vision started.
Eric watches her take a seat behind him.
I didn't believe it at first either. But you will.
She drops her gaze.
When I was a kid, my dad used to say to me, "Trust in something more than you." Sort of become my mantra these past few days. I said it when I saw the visions. I said it when I built my weapon exactly the way it was shown to me. I said it over and over as I passed every freeway exit on my way here.
She stands behind him.
I said it when I walked out onto the boardwalk and I saw the others. We were all wearing the same colors we saw in our visions. That's when I knew I wasn't alone. And then all of this is real. And I'm saying it to you now, Eric. You need to trust something more than you. You may not want to believe it, but we're all on the same side.
He shakes his head.
I'm on my family's side.
In the living room, Andrew looks up as they exit the bathroom. Sabrina leads Eric back to his chair. He sits and she bends over him. Andrew watches as she reties Eric to the chair. Sabrina goes back into the bathroom. Leonard stands at one of the front windows. Unnoticed by the adults, Wen puts on a backpack and crawls through a hole in the basement door. Andrew glances in Wen's direction.
Eric.
He looks over at Eric.
You really okay?
My head's still ringing, but my vision is clearer.
Andrew looks to Leonard, who stands at the window with his back to them. In the basement, Wen slowly goes downstairs.
You know, that first earthquake happened over 4 hours ago, right? Before they showed up here. Leonard's checked his watch 1,000 times. They've been timing all of this.
I know.
Sunlight streams through several windows in the basement.
I don't want you to be spooked or anything.
You think I believe that?
No. No, it's just you. With your head and all, I want to make sure you're thinking straight. Without trying to manipulate us. They take you alone in there and try and talk to you.
I don't believe them.
Andrew nods. In the basement, Wen overhears Sabrina and Adrian.
We have to believe in what we're doing, what our goal is here.
Did you see Redmond's fucking face? Are we just crazy?
Say whatever it is you have to say to them. Convince them.
Wen reaches the basement door to the outside and pushes it open. She looks over her shoulder and spots shadows moving in her direction through the floorboards. She hurries out the door and runs into the woods. Wen ducks behind a tree. Glancing toward the cabin, she spots Leonard walking outside. She retreats behind the tree.
Wen!
She startles, then hurries away from the tree.
Wen!
Glancing over her shoulder, she hides behind another tree.
Where?
She looks back and spies Leonard walking through the woods.
Where?
She waits for him to pass, then moves away from the tree. Reaching a pile of firewood, she ducks behind it. She peeks around the firewood and finds Leonard gone. Moving to the other side of the pile, she peers into the forest. She turns to run, and Leonard grabs her. No! Carrying Wen, Leonard enters the cabin. Andrew looks worried. Leonard sits Wen in a chair and faces her.
I'm afraid the rule is that no one's allowed to leave. Were you trying to escape, Wen?
Leave her alone. I told her to do it.
Wen looks away.
You're just scared, Wen. We all are.
You ask us to choose again.
Don't listen to them, Wen.
Everyone turns to Andrew.
We were targeted. We've always been targeted.
A flashback shows a man swinging a bottle. Andrew's eyes widen.
I knew I recognized him.
Andrew stares off with a distant expression, then turns to Eric. He searches for words.
Redmond is the guy from the bar.
What?
Are you sure?
What guy from the bar?
Andrew was attacked by a man at a bar in Boston many years ago. The man went to jail for a short while, but his name is O'Bannon. It's him. He's gained weight and his beard's different, but it's him.
His name was Redmond.
We don't know dick about him, Leonard. We all met him for the first time on that boardwalk.
Stop the bullshit! This is all some kind of sick scam to get us to hurt each other.
That's not true.
We don't know why each of us is here.
It's a coincidence. The man who attacked me and had me in years of therapy is one of your group? Go get his wallet. I'll show you his name isn't Redmond.
No, we're not doing that.
Why?
Because it doesn't matter what his name is. Okay, we all have the visions.
This has to be exact. Everything has to be right. Didn't he tell us about this cabin on the message board first? And then we all had visions of a cabin?
I don't know. No, we had the visions first.
Message board?
Leonard stands.
Look, we're not doubting why we're here.
He glances around at everyone.
Go to sleep. The sun will rise. Maybe for the last time for all of us.
The premise of your scam is flawed. I'm a human rights attorney, Leonard. How about I show you photos of kids who have been tortured and killed lying in piles? You want to make a case for humanity to go on, you're going to lose.
Reaching into his pants pocket, Leonard pulls out a photo. He shows it to Andrew. In the picture, Leonard poses with kids.
This is a picture of some of the kids I coach. This year, the boys had a record of 3-8. The girls, 5-6. So we're not very good. If you could hear them laugh, you'd understand why I'm here. Maybe you'd sleep better if you could see each other easier.
He turns Andrew to face Eric, then moves Eric's chair so he faces Andrew. Leonard walks away. As Andrew stares at him, tears well in Eric's eyes. Wen wraps her arms around Eric, and he kisses the top of her head. An exterior view shows the cabin as darkness starts to fall. Daytime, several grasshoppers crawl up a window. Wen forks scrambled eggs into her mouth as Adrian watches.
You like it? Come to the restaurant. I can make you all kinds of breakfast burritos. They say if you can make an egg great, you can do anything.
Eric, my hands are a little looser.
Eric looks at Andrew.
I just need to get to the trunk of the car.
Wen stares at Adrian and picks up a tea towel. She hands the towel, the plate, and the silverware to Adrian, who smiles.
You're very polite.
Leonard mills about in the kitchen.
You're a good person.
Wen gets up and walks away from the table. Leonard slides a mattress across the cabin. Sabrina picks up a stack of pillows and other bedding from the floor. Adrian and Leonard face the family.
Okay.
Listen, you guys been on some kind of message board, right? You're having a shared delusion. That's a uniquely 21st century health crisis. It is real. You're in an echo chamber, you know that, right? You got online and you found random people who had random visions and you took that as evidence. Remember the guy who shot up three people on an army base in Louisiana?
Wen discreetly hands Eric a knife.
They posted videos about how the shadow government was stalking them and using mind control weapons in an attempt to destroy their lives.
We found each other online because we said we had the same visions.
Remember when you did at Thanksgiving?
And then we decided to meet on the boardwalk.
Wen nods.
You're gonna do that if I nod.
Okay, let's continue.
Leonard moves out of view, and Adrian and Sabrina follow him. Wen steps behind Eric, who briefly shuts his eyes and hangs his head. He cuts at the rope on his wrists as the intruders face them.
You have the opportunity to choose.
Eric looks over at Andrew.
I don't mean to rush you, but we're going to ask for your decisions very fast now.
Tears well in Adrian's eyes.
I'm going to be straight up.
She steps forward.
I'm the next one to go.
Eric drops his gaze.
I'm counting on you, man. You're like my last hope here.
Adrian, you can walk out of here right now. Just walk out and see. Nothing will happen.
None of this can stop until you make a choice. Don't you get that already?
Eric shakes his head.
You think I want to be here? I'm just some fucking cook. I didn't tell you at first, but I have a son. I didn't want to speak his name, but here I am, begging you to do what has to be done, because if you don't, my son is gonna die. Over the last few days, I've had to watch him die over and over and over again. I've watched my little boy burned alive as I held him in my arms. Everything was burning. I can't get the sound of his screams out of my head, even right now, so as a mother, believe me when I tell you that this is really happening. And it's up to you.
What exactly did you guys see?
Stop talking to him. He doesn't believe you. None of us believe you. Let your time run out. We're not going to do what you want us to do.
Eric fights back tears as he meets Adrian's desperate gaze.
His name is Charlie. He likes pancakes.
He stares at her with an inscrutable expression. He shakes his head. Adrian gazes at him with a defeated look. Our view settles on Leonard, who looks downward.
Very well.
Wen hugs Eric and he kisses her.
Close your eyes. Cover your ears.
The intruders grab their weapons.
You don't have to do this. You guys are delusional. You're part of a suicide cult. Can't you see that?
Adrian kneels before the family and sets her weapon on the floor before her. Andrew struggles against his binds.
Stop! Please stop this!
She puts a white hood over her head. Sabrina and Leonard stand behind her with their weapons in hand. Our view circles around Andrew. He tugs at the loosened ropes around his wrists. Sabrina and Leonard step past one another. Eric continues cutting at the rope on his wrists. With her face buried in his shoulder, Wen covers her ears. Sabrina and Leonard stand on either side of Adrian.
Part of humanity has been judged.
An exterior view shows the cabin. Gripping her weapon in her hands, Sabrina backs against a chair. Leonard unfolds a blanket and drapes it over Adrian's body on the floor. He carries her corpse.
I'll move her into the other room so they don't have to see her.
With her hands covering her mouth, Sabrina sobs. Leonard moves Adrian's body into a bedroom. He steps back into the living room and shuts the bedroom door. Andrew stares at the floor and trembles.
Hundreds of thousands of people are going to die now. We've unleashed a second plague.
Bullshit.
Andrew fights back tears.
Sabrina, put on the TV, please.
Sabrina turns on the TV to a pre-recorded news program.
There have also been new developments with the novel X9 virus, which is proving particularly fatal to children. The X9 virus is highly transmittable amongst children aged 10 and under. These outbreaks seem to be originating in three distinct pockets of the world: Cape Town, Suffolk, England, and outside Nashville in Tennessee. Lockdowns in these areas have already begun, as numbers rise along with fear for the safety of those infected. Numerous public schools have been suspended, with some being converted into makeshift quarantine facilities.
Eric looks over at Andrew, who stares at the TV.
I think I saw something, Andrew.
Andrew turns to him.
What? What are you saying? I think I saw a person. Or a figure.
Turn the TV off.
Sabrina complies.
Where'd you see a figure?
Eric looks at Leonard.
In the light behind you. In the reflection in the mirror. When you were standing behind Redmond. Right before you struck him. Eric, look at me.
Eric looks at Andrew.
You have a severe concussion. She even told you you would be extremely sensitive to light. We're under extreme stress here. I need you to listen to the words I'm saying. Breathe in for a second, okay?
Eric shuts his eyes and nods.
I've been reading about these X9 cases for months already. You know that. It isn't a fucking plague. It's a news report. They all knew about it before they showed up here and knowingly made it a part of their narrative. And this guy has been checking his watch all morning, just like yesterday.
Come on, Andrew.
All four of you have watches. What, you just showed up here like that? No, you knew you were coming out of this particular cabin where cell reception wouldn't exist. Did you see the banner at the bottom of the screen? It isn't live, it's pre-programming. It's a TV show. Leonard, Sabrina, all of them knew this X9 show would be on, and at what time?
Andrew, this virus is gonna spread everywhere.
It's a fucking pre-programmed show! They knew this virus show would be on at this time, just like they knew the Alaskan earthquake and the tsunami warning had already happened before they showed up here.
Eric looks from Andrew to Wen. She meets his gaze, then walks away.
I'm clear-headed now.
Tears brim in Eric's eyes.
Always together.
He meets Andrew's gaze. Andrew turns to the intruders.
You don't talk to him from now on, you talk to me.
Our view settles back on Eric. He looks over at Wen and nods.
I want to watch Paddington and Chloe now! I want to watch Paddington and Chloe!
Wen? Okay, we're gonna count down from five together. Or we're not gonna yell anymore, okay? When? Five. Four. Let's try this again. When? Take a deep breath.
Eric finishes freeing his hands. Falling over in his chair, he grabs Adrian's weapon and swings it up at Leonard.
Get away from my family, you fucking loons!
Leonard blocks his swings with a chair, and Andrew frees himself.
Everyone needs you.
No! No, I don't believe you!
Please, please,
no, back away from me! Don't you look at me!
As Leonard and Sabrina deal with Eric, Andrew hobbles to the front door and goes outside. He heads toward his SUV, and Sabrina comes outside.
Andrew?
She grabs a weapon from the porch and chases after him. Sabrina knocks him to the ground.
I hit you in the knee just so you wouldn't run away. This is triage. Like in an emergency room. We have to make the decision to save the most lives. We have to help each other.
He throws dirt in her face. Climbing into the driver's seat, he locks the door behind him. She pulls at the door handle and slaps the window. Andrew climbs into the back seat.
Andrew, listen to me!
She swings at the window with her weapon as he reaches for a lockbox in the trunk. He presses his thumb to the unlock sensor. In the cabin.
Stay away from me! Stay away from me, I will kill you! Stay away from me!
Leonard drags Eric across the floor, but Eric hits his hands away. Eric stands.
Please stop!
Andrew gets the lockbox open and Sabrina breaks through the window. He loads a pistol.
Leave whatever you're going for. Get out of the car and come inside.
She holds up her weapon.
I don't want to have to hurt you.
She stabs him.
Come back inside! Now! We don't have time for this! Please!
Andrew turns to her and fires. Unscathed, she looks up at a bullet hole in the car's ceiling.
Now you listen to me, you crazy fucking bitch. You drop that thing and back the fuck up.
Back the fuck up! Keep going!
She drops the weapon and backs away as he climbs out of the SUV. Sabrina runs off.
Stop! Stop!
She continues sprinting into the forest. Andrew lowers the pistol. He spots the SUV's flat tires.
Fuck.
Turning away from the vehicle, he limps back toward the cabin. He goes up the porch steps toward the front door. Inside, Eric brandishes Adrian's weapon.
Stay back!
I believe you were chosen because your family's love for each other is so pure. I know you've been through a lot and people haven't been fair to you.
Andrew steps in and aims the pistol at Leonard.
Drop the weapon and move away from Eric or I'll show you I was chosen to put a bullet in your head. Drop it now, Leonard, or I'll kill you.
You're dooming us all, Andrew. You're dooming your husband. You're dooming your daughter.
I'm done with you! I'm not listening to another goddamn word you say!
Leonard doesn't drop his weapon.
It's time for the next sacrifice. Are you willing to make a choice?
You're crazy. I'm taking my family. And I'm leaving.
Sabrina runs in, and Andrew shoots her.
Andrew!
She staggers back, and blood drips from the bullet wound in her stomach. Sabrina drops out of view. In a flashback, Eric sits in a dimly lit bar and stares at Andrew.
You have a temper. Not in a scary way, just... it's there. You're uptight. You can suck the life out of any situation. Hey, we said you have to qualify things. I'm sorry, you suck the life out of some situations.
Eric shakes his head.
I'll accept that. It's not a bad list. I think most parents would have a worse list than that. I can't believe we're actually gonna do this. I have never, for one second of my life, ever doubted loving you.
A man approaches them.
The kid will be washed in that every day.
How is it you can say stuff like that out of nowhere?
You guys keep it down.
They look at the unseen man.
Were we being loud?
I'm trying to have a drink with my friends.
Oh, we were being too loud? Is that what it is?
Andrew glares at the man.
Get your drunk ass back to your seat.
Eric shuts his eyes.
Fuck you.
The red-bearded man walks away.
You shouldn't provoke them.
I wasn't provoking.
Oh my God!
The red-bearded man smashes a bottle over Andrew's head and beats him. His face obscured by a hat, the red-bearded man stalks away.
Call an ambulance! Andrew! Andrew, look at me! Andrew, look at me! Are you okay? Open your eyes, open your eyes! Can you hear me? Andrew!
In a hospital, a roving view settles on Andrew lying on his side. A surgeon stitches up the back of his head. Eric holds his hand. In a boxing gym, Andrew punches a heavy bag. In a gun shop, the clerk sets a pistol on the counter before Andrew.
All right, so what you got here is an HKP-30, German engineered, very light, very easy to handle.
Andrew picks up the gun.
Pretty much good for any scenario, carry, home protection.
Screw him, right?
He grips the handle tightly and stares ahead with a fierce expression.
I'll take it.
He takes a deep breath. The flashback ends. Leonard kneels over Sabrina on the cabin floor. Andrew looks to Eric, who hugs Wen.
No, Leonard.
Sabrina wears the white hood, and Leonard holds his weapon.
Are you willing to make a sacrifice?
Andrew shakes his head.
No more, you bastard.
Leonard stands over Sabrina.
A part of humanity has been judged.
Eric holds Wen tighter. Leonard brings his weapon down on Sabrina. An exterior view shows Andrew backing out of the front door with his gun raised.
The four of us can't make this decision. It's gotta be your choice.
Shut your mouth.
Andrew sways unsteadily.
Keep an eye on Leonard.
He hobbles along the porch.
Yell if he does anything.
He goes around to the side of the cabin. Peering through the window, he spies Leonard kneeling beside Sabrina's body. As he holds Wen tightly, Eric watches Leonard move Sabrina's body. Andrew picks up a wallet from the porch and limps back to the front door. He opens the wallet and pauses in his tracks. Our view moves away from him to the front door as he hobbles forward. Leonard returns to the living room. Blood stains his shirt. Andrew aims at him.
So bad.
He pulls a driver's license from the wallet and drops it at Leonard's feet. It shows Redmond's photo and reads, Rory O'Bannon.
You were here to torture us?
We don't know why we were chosen.
Don't say another word of your horse shit! None of this is real, and you were targeting us! I always look for motive, Leonard. How about a crazy bigot meets a bartender from a bar somewhere, and they find a woman from a small town who has extreme religious beliefs?
That's not true.
Then they come across a young woman who can be persuaded of anything. I didn't believe for a second that Adrian had a kid, Leonard. No, I'm not a murderer like you guys. So I'm gonna lock you in that bathroom.
Leonard looks toward the bathroom.
They slashed our tires, but they must have come in a truck or a vehicle. We need to get to that vehicle.
You're wrong about all of us.
Now get in that bathroom, Leonard, and make no mistake, I will fucking kill you if I have to.
Leonard backs into the bathroom as Andrew keeps the pistol trained on him. Andrew shuts the bathroom door.
We need someone to cut the door up to the lab.
Our view stays on the closed bathroom door. Andrew, Eric, and Wen start toward the front door. They stop and stare at the bathroom door.
He broke the window.
He got out. He's gonna come get us.
With a wary expression, Andrew lifts his gun.
He's gonna get to the car before us. He could be outside and hurt us. We have to make sure he's in the bathroom. Leonard?
He aims the pistol at the bathroom door.
If I open this door and I see you, I will shoot you.
Stepping forward, he unwraps the lamp cord from the doorknob. He sets the lamp aside and opens the door. Andrew finds the bathroom empty and the porthole-sized window broken. With his gun aimed, he shifts his gaze to the closed shower curtain. He points the pistol at it. Andrew's arms tremble as he stares at the shower curtain, then fires. His eyes widen as he stares at the bullet hole in the curtain. He glances at the small broken window. Shifting his gaze back to the shower curtain, he slowly reaches for it. Leonard bursts through the shower curtain and tackles Andrew. They fall to the floor and struggle for control of the gun. Eric hits Leonard in the head and wraps his arms around his neck. Leonard tosses him away, then disarms Andrew. Leonard aims the gun at Andrew and puts his glasses back on. Leonard gets to his feet. He keeps the gun pointed at Andrew, who stands and backs out of the bathroom.
I thought you wouldn't kill us.
I won't. What I will shoot you in the leg to keep you from leaving this cabin. Turn on the TV if you want to be convinced.
Eric complies.
You'll see that everything I said was going to happen has happened.
No one's going to do what you said.
Terrifying images as we see yet another passenger aircraft plummet to the ground.
Eric, what are you doing?
He and Wen stare at the newscast.
Why did you turn it on?
Local and international governments are investigating whether there's any correlation between the crashes. We have yet to receive death tolls or receive any statements from the airlines.
A breaking news alert shows planes falling out of the sky. A chyron on the footage reads, "Multiple airline failures result in global tragedy. Glimpses show crashed planes burning."
I thought it wasn't real.
Wen stares at the screen with a horrified expression. Eric picks her up. Shaky video shows people watching from a balcony as a plane crashes. More aircraft fall from the sky. Plumes of black smoke rise in the distance. Eric and Wen watch the video with horrified astonishment.
The skies were falling, crashed to the earth like pieces of glass.
And God's fingers will scorch the earth. And an everlasting darkness will descend over humanity.
We now have confirmation of as many as 700 airplanes having crashed without warning, without issuing distress calls, amid fears and increasing speculation there may have been a coordinated cyber attack on the
plane's flight management. That terrorist stuff has nothing to do with this.
I've heard this before.
TSA has yet to issue a statement. Airports around the globe are canceling flights.
Leonard faces them.
It is hard. Excuse me.
Excuse me. It is hard to describe the images that we are seeing.
They fill us with disquietude and horror.
We are witnessing a collective tragedy unfathomable only
moments before. We are getting word of more.
Andrew breaks the TV.
How the fuck did you know what she was going to say? Is this some closed-circuit TV? Did you guys pump this in?
Maybe the truth is that the end was happening long before we got to this cabin. And what we're seeing now isn't the fireworks. It's just the final flickering sparks.
I don't know what's going on here, but where are the keys to the truck you guys came in?
Andrew.
I'm taking my family, and we're leaving.
Eric looks to Andrew.
Do you really think that everything that happened today...
Tears brim in his eyes.
Everything we've seen. Do you really think it's all just a coincidence?
Yes. I think it's all coincidence. Some horrible, unexplainable coincidence. Or it has to be a trick. I have to believe that.
You already don't believe that.
Eric regards Leonard.
I know when someone's lying.
Andrew wears a pleading expression.
Let's get out of here and never come back. Don't listen to Leonard anymore.
Eric holds Wen against his body and looks down at her. Leonard backs away from the family toward the back doors. He absently aims the gun at Andrew. Leonard looks defeated.
Can everyone come out onto the back deck now? I'd like to do this last part outside.
On the back deck, Leonard sits in a chair. He sets down the pistol and pulls a knife from his sock.
What are you doing with that, Leonard?
The family watches him.
When I'm gone, you only have minutes to stop everything. After that, it'll be too late.
Will all the children die?
When? I want you to take your music and your headphones and go to that treehouse that we climbed in. Put your music on until one of us comes to catch you. Do what Daddy says, okay?
Eric kisses Wen's forehead.
I love you, chicken.
She hugs him.
Go.
Wen walks past Andrew.
Nothing can happen to the three of us. You'll be okay.
She hurries into the woods.
The worst thing about the visions was the screaming. I could hear everyone screaming. And I knew when the visions ended, the screaming was just gonna go on and on.
Wen climbs a ladder up to a treehouse.
You know what I love most about teaching kids? They believe everything you say. So you have to be careful. Say only what you know to be true. It's a big responsibility. Maybe one of the kids I taught do something great for the world. What do you think?
Leonard flashes a sad smile.
Please. My new friends. Eric. Andrew. Will you make a choice and save the world?
Our view closes in on his body from the neck down.
All of humanity has been touched.
He lifts the knife and slits his own throat. A low view shows lightning flashing through dark clouds. Andrew and Eric step toward Leonard. Blood seeps into Leonard's shirt as the rocking chair beneath him sways. Eric glances off, and Andrew spots a plane falling from the sky. Eric backs out of view. Andrew picks up the gun from the deck. He stares off toward the forest. Turning, he limps away from Leonard's body. He wears a troubled expression. Lightning strikes the ground behind him. He doesn't look back. Andrew approaches the cabin's back doors. He steps inside and looks up to find Eric facing him.
We still have a few minutes, he said.
Andrew stops in his tracks.
Eric, there was something in the light. A figure.
He limps toward Eric.
And I feel it now.
Tears well in Andrew's eyes.
I believe you. Let the three of us leave.
Andrew drops his gaze and hobbles toward the front door. Eric doesn't follow.
Maybe this is the way it's always been. Maybe families have been deciding this all through time. Well, let's just walk the earth then. The three of us. What kind of life is that for Wen?
Lightning flashes.
Andrew, this wasn't a home invasion. They didn't target us. They came here to spend time with us.
Andrew approaches him.
For us to get to know them. They remind us of all aspects of humanity. Redmond Malice. Adrian Nurturing. Sabrina Healing. Leonard Guidance. They're the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I believe we had to see them die. We had to feel their loss. Why us?
Andrew shakes his head.
We're nothing special. Because I know what I felt when we saw Wen in that orphanage and we were together for the first time. It's our decision.
Andrew backs away, but Eric follows.
It's our fucking decision.
Andrew holds the gun at his side.
We're supposed to give up our love for them? It's a sacrifice, Andrew. That we would be willing to give up something so beautiful to us for everyone else. They're not worth it! They hate us, Eric! They hate that we exist! They're just... us. They're monsters! They destroy everything! They hurt each other!
You're not just a prosecutor. You know there's something to defend. That's where your anger comes from, Andrew.
Kill me!
No, sweetheart. We're running out of time. Maybe I saw a figure, maybe I just made it up, but it's giving me peace. My mind is set in its truth. I won't be scared. You gotta do it now. We're out of time, all of us.
I don't believe in them, Eric.
I do. Do it while I'm thinking the most beautiful thought so that I can have that feeling in my heart to take me right to wherever it is I'm going. It's almost time. I can feel it.
Kill me, Eric, please. Please. Please.
I'm thinking about our daughter in the future. She's living her life exactly as she wanted to.
Eric wears a peaceful expression.
She's got her own practice. You're there with her. You guys are locking up her office because you guys are going to dinner.
A glimpse shows adult Wen.
She's everything we always hoped for.
She and Andrew walk to her car.
She still got her crazy laugh. She still asks everybody questions about everything.
In the present, Eric keeps his eyes shut.
She found someone who loves her and who she loves just as much.
He smiles.
Just like her dad's.
Andrew weeps as he stares at him. An exterior view shows the dark clouds hanging over the forest. In the cabin, Andrew bends down. He kneels over Eric's body.
Eric!
In the treehouse, Wen sits against the wall and wears headphones. She stares at the open hatch door as Andrew appears through the opening. He regards her with a somber expression, and she removes her headphones.
Did Eric save everyone?
Andrew drops his gaze. He glances down and starts to cry. Climbing into the treehouse, he sits beside her and wraps his arms around her. The pair holds each other tight as rain falls outside. A retreating view moves out the window as lightning hits a tree. The view settles on the cabin. A flaming tree falls onto the structure. Later, Andrew and Wen stand watching the cabin burn. The flaming tree falls further into the structure, and he grips her shoulder. Soaked with rain, the pair walks through the woods. They hold hands as he limps beside her down a road. Blood stains his leg. They spot a vehicle parked up ahead. Andrew opens the truck's door and finds the keys sitting on the center console. He lifts Wen into the vehicle, and she climbs into the passenger seat. He gets in after her. Later, embers float past the windshield as they drive down the road. Trees burn around them.
We stop it in time.
He spots a building on the side of the road.
There's a diner over there.
He slows the truck as they approach the diner. He turns into the lot, where many other cars sit parked. As Andrew and Wen enter the diner, they spot everyone inside watching the news.
The only thing we could do was climb out of the upstairs window onto the roof, but water kept climbing higher and higher. No one could hear us. Standing on the roof, my daughters, my girls, thought it was the end. You know, two of my girls can't swim. And the water just stopped rising.
Switch to the other one.
The last of the planes in Australia and Russia have landed safely. Families are rushing the airports, searching for their loved ones. Amidst this chaos are emotional scenes.
We were rolling the bodies out into the parking lot because there wasn't room.
This past hour is the first time in many, many hours that we haven't had a death in the ICU. Actually, we're coming up on our second hour here of no deaths.
I know.
A waitress talks on the phone.
I love you so much. Everything's gonna be okay.
The waitress steps away. Andrew and Wen turn their attention back to the news.
The sudden lightning strikes that set fire to many areas have not returned, though several fires have yet to be extinguished, and the damage to regions both rural and urban across Great Britain is extensive and remains to be determined. The worst conflagrations have, as of this moment...
Now, Andrew opens the back door of the truck and searches the belongings inside. He finds a certificate recognizing Leonard Brocht with many kids' signatures on it. He sets it down and searches another bag. He finds a medical ID badge with Sabrina's name and photo on it. It reads, Registered Nurse. He unzips a backpack. He pulls a framed photo from inside, which shows Adrian with a small boy. The pair wears matching hats and smiles. Wen climbs into the passenger seat. Getting into the driver's seat, Andrew stares off. He finds a Metrogas employee badge, which reads Rory O'Bannon, and shows a photo of Redmond. Andrew puts on his seatbelt. He starts the truck. He and Wen look toward the radio, and he turns it off. Wen glances at him, then turns it back on. She stares at him, but he keeps his gaze fixed ahead. Wen turns off the radio with a somber expression. Andrew turns it back on. He meets her gaze. They stare at each other for a long moment. She puts on her seatbelt as he puts the car in gear. He backs the truck out of the parking space. They drive away from the diner. They turn out of the parking lot onto the main road. Plumes of black smoke rise into the air in the distance. Our view watches the truck travel down the highway. Cut to black. Credits appear. A film by M. Night Shyamalan. Knock at the Cabin. Credits roll. Unit Production Manager Mark Beanstalk. First Assistant Director Adam Druxman. Second Assistant Director, Larissa Malarek. Dave Bautista as Leonard. Jonathan Groff as Eric. Ben Aldridge as Andrew. Nikki Amuka-Bird as Sabrina. Rupert Grint as Redmond. Abby Quinn as Adrian. Kristen Kui as Wen. McKenna Kerrigan as Andrew's mom. Ian Merrill Peaks as Andrew's father. Denise Nakano as TV newscaster. Rose Luardo as PWTC spokeswoman, Bill Vargas as seismologist, Satomi Hoffman as TV newscaster number two, Kevin Lung as man with child on TV, Lee Avant as TV news anchor number three, Odera Adamora as international TV news anchor, Kat Murphy as Scottish female doctor, Kitson O'Neill as BBC anchor, Leah Yane as adoption center employee, M. Night Shyamalan as infomercial host. Claire Louise Frost as infomercial co-host. Hannah Gaffney as waitress. Monica Fleurette as woman in diner. Soraya Chen as adult Wen. Stunt coordinator, Manny Severio. Stunt Leonard, Esteban Cueto. Stunt Eric, Josiah Nolan, Bryce Biederman. Stunt Andrew, Veselin Todorov. Stunt Sabrina, Damali Ross. Stunt Redman, Dylan Hintz. Stunt Adrian, Kristen Murphy. Stunt rigger, Robert Lopez. Production supervisor, Jason Saltzman. Art director, David Kellum. Assistant art director, Vince Mountain. Set decorator, Karen Frick. Assistant set decorator, Jeno Deli Colley. Art department coordinator, Nikki Cash. Graphic designer, Scott Purcell. Art PA, Ryan Clark. Lead person, Troy Borisi, Jason Curry. Set decoration coordinator, Carl Counts. On-set dresser, John Nunn. Additional on-set dresser, Mike Atkinson. Set dresser foreperson, Todd Sawinski. Set dressers, Mike Stranix, Dan Giaquinto, Dan Gilroy, Brett Acker, Joe Skadzinski, Erica Katz, Kevin Eisenberg, Buyer, Robert Ratface Holtzman, Draper, Janice Manser Sotak, Set Decoration, PAs, Quinn Sheehan Hipple, Brianna Wenschel, Property Master, Robbie Duncan, PMG, Assistant Property Masters, Stu Probst, Damian Hammer Harrer, Emma Verdugo, Assistant Property Master, Armorer, Jeffrey Chabreau, Props PA, Bria Marie O'Brien, Picture Car Coordinator, Larry Oscar, Picture Car Mechanic, Paul Hlavak, Camera Operator, Bradley Crosby, Camera First Assistant, Norris Fox, Camera Second Assistants, Jonathan Clark, Leon Sanguiniti, B Camera Operator, David Tatcher, B Camera First Assistant, Michael Leonard, Loader, Sean Galchik, Video Assist, Christopher Murphy, Video Utility, Arthur Cipollone, Production Sound Mixer, Dave Schwartz, Boom Operator, Graham Gardner, Sound Utility, Dylan Henning, Storyboard Artist, Brick Mason, Chief Lighting Technician, Paul Postal, ACLT, David Daddio Carrera, Best Boy Electric, Russ Wade, Electricians, Shauna Annabelle, Bernice Ottovino, Stephen Breslin, Ryan Morris, Dan Pellicata, Jen Schoenewald, Rigging Gaffer, Zach Kind, Rigging Electric Best Boy, Eric Glynn, Data Tech, Mike Haskell, Rigging Electric Technicians, Steve Chiarici, Matt Chiarici, John Ciancaglini, Steve Solipaca, Basecamp Electricians, Steve Immendorf, Rick Mitchell, Key Grip, Kimberly Stewart, Additional Key Grip, Kevin Carlisle, Best Boy Grips, Nolan Jude Gallagher, Mark Grosso, Dolly Grip, Ian O'Neill. Distance, written by Emily King and Jeremy Most, performed by Emily King. Boogie Shoes, written by Harry Wayne Casey and Rick Finch, performed by Casey and the Sunshine Band. Accentuate the Positive, written by Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer, performed by Aretha Franklin. Sugartown, written by Lee Hazelwood, performed by Nancy Sinatra. Long Train Runnin', written by Charles Thomas Johnston, performed by the Doobie Brothers. Copyright 2023 Universal Studios, all rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo copyright 2013 Universal Studios. Universal Studios is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Knock at the Cabin. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Universal Pictures, read by Adrienne Barbeau. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org.